Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oh, hello. Here we are yet again, another brand new, straight out of the box episode of Is It Just Me? The podcast where we put all the nonsense from our lives, me and James Williams.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Jo Elvin, I'm the other one.
How are you?
I always muddle the intro. You know that by now. That,
I was just thinking that was going quite well for once.
Yeah, and then I never know how to sort of like, you know... Sort of like include
pay
you.
It off.
Yeah,
I just interrupt normally.
Yeah, but I mean, well, thank God it isn't just us today
indeed.
To help us chew the fat.
Ooh,
literally,
good pun
on some you know, sort of pressing trivial nonsense of the day. We have quite a stellar guest today. He's a chef. He's a television star. He's an author. He's just, you know, a real superstar, the rock and roll king of food. It's Marcus Waring.
Well, hey.
Hello, hello. Nice to be here.
I was going
to
say, and suddenly really wondering what the hell he's doing here.
Yeah. No, nervous laughter.
I think you could have just homed that in as just a cook.
Just a cook.
Is that what you are at home?
I am. If you cut me in half, I think like a bar of rocket, it would just say cook inside.
I've got to tell you, this is like exposure therapy for me today, Marcus, because my formative years when I first got to London, when I was a waitress, have given me a phobia of chefs. I mean, really.
So
yeah.
You've been shouted at then, haven't
you? Oh, I've been shouted. And yeah. I, you know, in fairness, I probably was London's worst waitress. I mean, there was one New Zealand chef who, when he used to see me, I used to work at DeLugo, Anthony Worrell Thompson, and he used to see me and go, oh, are you on today, are you? And that was like, because I was pretty bad. And when I first, when I got to my first magazine job, oh, who's this?
Oh, teas and coffees.
Oh, teas Woo-hoo. And coffees. I wonder what was going on there. Yeah. I'm all right, thank you. when I got my first magazine job, all the wait staff and chefs were like, oh, now it makes sense. So you were just doing this while you were trying to get a proper job, like what you really do.
If it makes you feel any better, I can sort of guarantee that you probably were not the worst waitress in London. There are many, many of you. I can vouch. I can tell you. First hand, you're one of many.
Well, it's a rite of passage, don't you think? I'm highly suspicious of anyone, or they've just led a very privileged life, who's never worked behind a bar or, you know, worked as a waiter or a waitress. Don't you think? Everyone needs to have done that.
I agree. I think it's a great way to earn some money. Yeah. It's easy to get into.
It's not a great way to earn money.
In Marcus's restaurant, it is.
I think it's definitely a safe way of earning a bit of money. Yeah. I think it's an easier option. Mm. You don't need many qualifications. And I think you can. It's sort of the way we look at it. It's not rocket science. It's pretty straightforward. You need a bit of training on the job. And actually, to be fair, it is about your personality. So I'm quite surprised so far that your personality did not shine through at that given time, because you seem quite
sure
bubbly to me.
I think I was just, we used to have a lot of like really posh clientele, and I was fresh off the boat, as they say. I don't think I had, it certainly taught me a lot of confidence.
Did you ever manage to master the multiple sort of plates up the sleeve?
I can still carry five plates.
Can you?
On one arm.
See, she's being coy, isn't she? She was clearly not the shittest waitress in town.
Yeah, but you learn when you've dropped a whole tray of dinners and they're yelling at you to get out of the kitchen. You learn pretty fast to carry some plates. Yeah. But enough about me. Yeah,
exactly. So, Marcus, you are here because you've got a new book out.
Yes, I have.
Now, also, first of all, I've got to say, just a cook, but you did have your first Michelin star at 26, was it?
Yeah, I think it was 25 or 26.
26,
yeah.
I mean, you know. 26.
No, 25 actually.
No, no big.
I remember.
No biggie.
A long time ago.
So I guess my thing is, I mean, you know, Joe and I, we talk about this a lot. We both like to cook. Mm. And but, you know, I guess for a lot of people out there, they are genuinely quite terrified of it. And I guess for somebody who's got a Michelin star with a cookbook out, everyone's going to be sat there going, oh, that's not for me. I'm never going to be able to keep up with it. So tell us a bit about, obviously, it's called Every Day. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, it's about everyday life, my life. And so I have the same feeling when I watch cookery gardening shows.
Yeah.
I love plants. I love growing. I've got a farm down in East Sussex, and I find it incredibly frustrating. I don't understand why the slugs eat my cabbages like it's sort of the best thing since sliced bread, and it annoys me without having to spray these slugs and many, many other problems. So I have incredible frustrations with gardening world. Watching Monty Don drives me insane. And that gives me, I've heard so many times that people have the same feeling when it comes to cookery. This book is about, it's very, very simple. It is light. It's fun. It's got lots of pictures through. It's got lots of antidotes and tips. I know it may have a chef on the cover and it's written by a chef, but there's a massive team that goes into this book. And this is, for me, it's my seventh cookbook, and it's the one book I really do feel that I'm at my most relaxed. I've really enjoyed it, and I think that really shines through in the book.
Well, it is a lovely, lovely looking book.
It is, I mean, a lovely book. And again, back to my chef phobia, I did see a picture of you in the cover and think, I'm not going to be able to do any of this.
That worries me.
And no, but I'm
well,
I'm
we're debunking the myth
you,
right here, right now.
I've already found, I'm on holiday next week, and I've already found a ton of stuff. Good. I'm going to cooking myself, catering. Holiday.
Also, you've reassured me, Marcus, because nothing gets me more hot under the collar than a recipe with no picture. Do you know, I'm a bit like, come on.
Yeah, I like a recipe with no picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why? Do you like not having to have that unrealistic
comparathon where you've really fucked it up?
Oh, no. You need that picture.
No.
It does help you along, doesn't it?
It does. It's an old thing, is it? But you do eat with your eyes, don't you, I think, a lot of the time.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So. The problem you have is you're dealing with the fact that there's 120 recipes and 120 photographs plus recipes. It becomes a pretty big book.
And quite expensive as well.
I think publishers sort of pull back on that one a little bit. So now you can only have 30 or whatever it is. As long as there's plenty of me in the book, I always say, I don't mind. I quite like including my children in the book, because all through my books, there's a picture of them somewhere, apart from one book. So there's sort of a really weird legacy of them growing
like
up.
A family album.
Yeah, and I give them all a copy of it, and they sort of shrug their shoulders off and like, whatever, apart from my daughter who loves it, because she preps for when she's going into the book. She gets ready, the clothes, you know, the hair, come, you know, make a little bit of something, a bit of perfume. So what's the perfume for? It's a book. No one's going to smell you.
It's the mood.
Exactly.
I want to be in the zone.
No, exactly.
So she's definitely part
she's
of the fashion
future. She's a professional.
Feature. I like her attitude.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, is it like choosing a favourite dish or like choosing a favourite child? But at the moment, you know, what is your go-to? You mentioned the other day there was one. Is it page 69 for half an hour?
69. For some strange reason, it has to be one of my best recipes.
Yeah. And so
I've lost my train of thought now. No,
sorry.
I haven't. It was a dish. I'm cooking it on Saturday Kitchen this Saturday. Oh. And I, for the first time, I thought, I've not been on that show for a long time and it's live. I better just make an effort to sort of run through the recipe, because you write these recipes a long time ago, you take the photographs and you forget about it. It's sort of something of the past. So I actually followed one of my own recipes to the letter, and I absolutely couldn't believe it was delicious. And now you may say
God,
why,
I'm amazing.
Why is it delicious? It should be delicious. But the reason being is that chefs like myself, we always change things as we go along. So I can take that idea and go off piste and it'll be delicious. I thought, you know what, I want to give it a shot to the letter. My family loved it. It was delicious, it was simple, it's great. Baked haddock in the oven with lentils and lovely flavour, finishing with smoked paprika, some crusty bread on the side. You feeling hungry?
We're doing this the wrong side of lunchtime as well. I just realised I'm getting really hungry.
Give it a shot. Yeah. It's easy. It's simple, and it works.
Also, I love the idea that obviously it makes sense, because you doing your homework for someone like that. It's a bit like, I always think it's really funny when people get really surprised when singers have to go back and practice and rehearse their songs. Yeah. It's like you can't remember every single lyric for every song. If you're like Elton John, you can't remember his entire back catalogue. I mean,
I'm not sure about that.
Actually, he probably could, because he's got like perfect pitch.
I can imagine.
But I like the idea that you had to basically prepare for it.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to see, because it gets mixed around with different, you know, co-authors and home economists, and then the photographer, and then the stylist on set. And before you know it, it's been played around with more times than you can imagine or want it to be. And you just hope it's still as real as the day you wrote the idea down.
Yeah.
Is cooking still a pleasure for you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a way of life. It's a pleasure. It's my family. It's my job. There's nothing in the job I don't enjoy.
Yeah.
And I've had some tough times. I've had some difficult years where you've really got to get your head into the kitchen. And when I say get your head into the kitchen, I'm talking about for years on end here. This is not just once a week, once a month, year after year, head down through really tough times of going through certain difficulties that you need to get through. And that's because of the business side of it, the understanding, great team around you, and looking after people along the way is the most important thing. And what I love about television, radio, book writing is I get to go meet and work with some fantastic people in other people's worlds and in other parts of other industries, and it drags my industry into it, and I love that synergy and togetherness, and I love learning from other people. It's great. Really excites me.
So basically, you always are the one on like family holidays or gatherings of friends, you're always expected to do the cooking. Is it just a given that you have to do it?
It's a case of I just take control over it, and I sort of bully my way into it. And my wife Jane, she's a great cook, and she would love to just get on with things. It's just what I do. And I sort of elbow my way into the kitchen, and I know deep down she thinks she's like, "God, great, get on with it." Yeah, sort of attitude.
And what's the dish that when the family really want to treat, what do they beg you to make?
I should go out for dinner. Take me out, Dad. Yeah. Anywhere but your food. Aww. There's always a bit of, it's always sushi or something like that. I taught my daughter to make sushi once, and she was brilliant at it. But I think it's a great, it's anything that your family enjoys as a family. You can always say it's a good roast dinner, but I just cooked that dish from the book the other night, and three of my kids ate it. They've all got different flavors, different ideas, and they all loved every bit of it. But it's a good curry, a good lasagna, shepherd's pie, and of course a great roast dinner. You've got to go for that. You can't.
Those are the kind of things I think you need to teach any kid before they leave for university. Yeah, they all need to master those, and then you're kind of set for life.
No. You need to teach that before they leave home.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so true. Yes.
Because when they're at university, it's all over.
Yeah,
game
you're right.
Over.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, yes. Yeah, and also, you don't need to go to uni.
My daughter is she's one of these new woke variety of children, and she wants to be a vegan. Does that just fill you with dread?
No. And yes.
Does me.
it's what I don't understand. I've got great menus of plant-based food and vegan ideas in Treadwell's, one of my other restaurants, where the chef Chantelle and my partner there, she really drives. She's written a book on plant-based food. Mm. So there's a lot of energy in youth and young people today. And there are groups of people who enjoy that type of eating because it's healthy, it's better for you. You may find it boring. Well, look on your face. That looks like boredom at the highest level.
I can get on board with vegetarianism.
But vegan's a bit too far.
Yeah.
Do you know what concerns me? What I laugh and wonder and worry about is, why do we have vegan style plant-based dishes such as a vegan burger that tastes of meat, yet it's not? And so is that a craving for meat? If you like the craving for meat, eat meat. What's wrong with you? Jesus.
I just think that everybody, I think if you're worried about the environment, you can cut down.
Yeah.
And I think that can make a significant difference. But, I don't want to get yelled at, so I'm going to stop talking.
don't make the vegans angry, Joe.
They're
grumpy. They can be grumpy.
They have a lot of energy.
Yes, they do. And are there, are there any vegan-friendly dishes in this book?
There are a few little bits and pieces.
I tried to pick it back around. Sorry, vegans. This book is not for you. But anyway, the book is Every Day.
There's a chapter in there called Home Alone.
Oh, I like that name.
That's basically a title for single people.
Yeah, well, it's
a polite title for single
people. You had me at Home Alone.
You had me at Smoked Cheese. That's what I'm all about.
So to recap, the book's out on Halloween, October
31st. Brexit Day, apparently.
I'm
not sure why it's on that day.
I mean, watch this space.
To be honest, veganism or Brexit, we're basically asking for trouble either way, aren't we? But check out the book. It's available with Marcus Every Day.
Marcus Every Day.
On Halloween. So, available everywhere, I should imagine.
Hope so.
Well, good luck with it, Mark, because you'll need it. So I'm now hungry, so I think we should get on to some topics.
Yeah.
Shall we do it?
Are you hungry for top chat?
Always. Yeah. Always, Joe. Yeah.
I thought we'd done, is that the intro? My gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, we're going to deeper territories now.
So first up this week, Mark is wearing Joe Elfin. Very on brand for our guest this week. Is it just me that basically has no truck with those people, those losers that basically say, oh, I'm not having a starter? Or even worse, those people that really sort of do that slightly sort of redundant, oh, are we having a starter? You know, in that kind of really insipid, sort of, you know, Andy McDowell at the end of Four Weddings and a Funeral, and she says that really lame line, oh, is it raining? I hadn't noticed. Those people that say, oh, are we having a starter? It's like, oh, you want a starter? Just fucking own it and say you want a starter. I hate those people. Do
well,
you know
obviously
I mean?
The restaurateur is going to be well on board with everyone having a starter, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, but I think that's a really good one because I when I go out with people, if it's not family or it's not friends, let's say it's a work-based event or you're meeting someone who you don't socialise with on a regular basis and they say just that question, you have to ask yourself, is it a diet thing? Is it a cost thing? Are you a little bit short cash? Yeah. You know, what's your real reason? Is it you just don't want to be with me? Why is
it's
that?
It's a minefield.
Is it, I've only got half an hour, I need to get out of here because you're so boring and let's just have a main course and go. What is it?
I guess.
Oh my God, I mean, I'm the chump who doesn't have a starter. Oh, I'm really? Feeling very, very
no,
vulnerable
no,
right
but wait,
now.
I think that... don't make me angry, Joe. No, okay, I guess my thing is, this is more about, if you're having a quick catch up with a mate, for example, after work, yeah, you don't have a three course extravaganza. You often will have like a main course and then a couple of glasses and then you're off. That I totally get. But what I mean is, when you've got like, you know, you've spent weeks on WhatsApp trying to find the one date for somebody's birthday, you've got the bloody restaurant reservation because, you know, these chef types, they don't, you know, you could barely get the reservations in. You finally got it and you turn up for what is basically a special occasion and then some chump goes, oh, I'm going to have a starter. It's like, piss off.
But, oh my God.
But you could have nullified that at the beginning on the message to your friends and say, let's just go out for a main course. So you don't need to ask that question.
Yeah. You know why I don't? Is because I just can't eat a ton in one sitting. And I like a pudding.
Wow.
So I don't want to completely sort of like peak before I've had the chance to.
So basically, I'm just a greedy bastard, because that's the other thing I was going to say. People that basically go, that I really envy the pudding or starter person. I want all three.
I wish I could. But my husband and I, it's so funny you raise this, because this is a perennial fight with me and my husband, because we'll go out and quite often, a lot of my friends are the no starter gang. Maybe that's why we've bonded. My husband is quite often the only one at the table who will order a starter, and then we all sit there and wait for him to have his starter.
He actually sits and has a starter on his own.
Good for you, Ross.
And I'm like, I just sort of like eye rolling.
Is he alone?
Are you actually going to order a starter? And he's like, fuck off, because he's vegetarian. His thing about restaurants is the vegetarian always gets stiffed, so he needs to bulk up with his minuscule plates compared to our big steaks and everything.
But see, my thing is, I often find that most restaurants have a more exciting starter menu than they have mains. That's how they reel me in.
There's a lot of interesting starters. Yeah. There's a lot of choice, and there's so much more. It's lighter. And you can have a couple of, see when you go with someone and say, oh, let's have a couple of starters.
A couple to share.
You're with someone very special, aren't you?
It's just taking it a bit too far, Marcus, for me,
no,
really.
Marcus, tell me this. Yeah. Where do you stand on the etiquette? Say, you know, you've obviously painstakingly put together a menu. Yep. And say I come in and I take a look at it and I go, don't fancy any of those main courses. Mm. I'm going to have two starters. Where do you stand on that?
Days gone by, that was sort of red rag to a bull. It was ultimate rage. It was It all started when the managers used to come into the kitchen many years ago, 20 odd years ago, and say, chef, Samaj, table two, vegetarian. You've never seen a manager run so fast out of a kitchen all your life, because you know that vegetarian is an alien come down from another planet to really piss you off. Now, the vegetarian people are so popular, they're part of...
Yeah.
They walk the streets with us now. They're not aliens anymore. They are one of
they
us.
Look they just like
they
one
are
of us.
Amongst us. And so we have to accommodate them.
Yeah.
So days gone by, we used to go crazy. We used to really hurt them as much as we possibly could. Anyway, we could hurt the waiter first, and then the pissed off waiter would pass that pissed off list to all the way through to the customer. Today we have to embrace them. We love them dearly. They are part of us.
Of course,
amongst the streets,
we want their money.
We do. We have no choice as restaurateurs anymore. We have to love them. We have really accommodated everybody and every need, from vegans to plant-based to a lot of diet restrictions out there. So many people now can't have so many different things.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. That was a long sigh.
Yeah. I just think that a lot of people think they're gluten intolerant and they're not, you know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But we can't ask them for their medical file to check them out to see if this, half the time we know they're not telling the truth.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as, in your head, the most difficult customer you've ever had over the years? Like somebody that literally really kept sending something back or kept questioning or querying you? Or
Every now and again, a customer will book into the restaurant, and on the night they arrive, they will give the manager a sort of a A3 size card
and a very long list of ingredients that you cannot eat, and you read it and you look at it and you get into a cold sweat and you're thinking, why on earth are you out?
Yeah.
Why are you here? Like, why are you actually going to a restaurant? And you shouldn't really be living. You can't eat anything. I mean, it's scary. And it's, if you serve me any of these, I'm in big trouble. And you're thinking, what have I got for you to eat?
Nothing.
That's also, that just seems, I do and think sometimes that's a really unfair responsibility.
Yep. And it happens.
Yeah.
And you do feel, actually, the problem I have is I have to act responsible, like the sort of the responsible adult in the kitchen. Because if I go crazy and get upset, my staff see that. And then when I'm not around, they see me kicking off. They do it they do the same. So I have to control myself and I try my hardest to accommodate them. That's really tough on a kitchen in the middle of service.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mars, here's a list of things I can't eat.
Well, it's a bit like that person turning up for dinner and suddenly going, oh, yes, I'm a vegetarian and a vegan. It's like, what?
I went to a restaurant with a friend of mine and I did, I mean, she won't mind me saying, she doesn't have any intolerance or anything like that. She just decided she was quote unquote detoxing.
Okay.
And I just wanted to die. So like sitting there giving the chefs and the waiters this list of what she could and couldn't eat. It took them about 15 minutes to find a way to feed her. And then I just went, yeah, I'll have the chicken. Like, you know what I mean? It was just like, I was like,
they probably
why
wanted to kiss you.
Did you come out tonight? Why didn't you just say, stop, we can't go out for dinner tonight? Why did you do that to me?
Bring a packed lunch.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, well. No,
she did. She actually said, if it helps, I've got this in my handbag in a Tupperware dish.
Really?
And I'll sit here and eat this while she, and I was just like, dying.
See, having said all that, now I feel like I need to cut some slack to the people that don't order a starter, maybe.
Because it could be worse.
There could be way worse.
I think there's a lot more of them than
there are.
You're outnumbered, I think.
But if in doubt, order the starter. Come on, embrace it. Yeah. But if you are sat there going, James, you're a greedy bastard, feel free to email us at the show. We do love hearing from you all. The email address is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com, or alternatively, you can get in touch via Instagram. And in fact, I got a lovely Instagram message from Lisa, who basically said, Joe, I wrote in to you guys, Is It Just Me, with the topic about changing careers and the fear of doing it. And you talked about it and sent me a lovely reply saying that I shouldn't be scared. And I did it. I made the plunge and six months in... 9 months after I resigned, I'm loving it. I've totally rejuvenated.
Christ, everyone, don't do what we tell you to do.
I know, I was going to say.
I mean,
Lisa,
that worked out and I'm really pleased.
So we'll quit with Lisa.
That could have been a backfire on you big time.
We'll quit while we're ahead with Lisa. Yeah. But everyone else, don't do as we say or do. Yeah. Just do you. But anyway, Lisa, we are very relieved that worked out well for you. And she says that she's met so many brilliant people. So thank you. Thank you, Lisa.
You are the best one.
Thank you for listening to the show. So as I said, do get in touch with us either via Instagram or Twitter. Or the email address again is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
So my sort of question is it just me that's stuck in a social media rut?
Oh.
Now,
I'm stuck in many ruts, Marcus.
I've struggled with this one. And I'm still struggling with it. And I've struggled for many years, and I was 10 years behind the curve of actually starting it. When I saw Twitter, originally the little bird Twitter, and the word Twitter coming out there, I used to think of two old ladies at the back of a garden talking over the fence, gossiping about a load of shite. And I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, that's about right.
And these adults around me were using it, and were on it, and were loving it and embracing it. And I was just thought, are you so childish? What's wrong with you? This is like for kids. And I never really looked into it or understood it. And then some years later, people around me say, you've got to get into this mob. We have to do this for your restaurants. We've got to do it for you. But I was never allowed to do it on my own. They all stopped me from doing it on my
heavily
own.
Supervised.
Yeah, supervised.
Just don't mention vegetarians, Marcus. That's what they're all saying.
And one
Please
day
don't.
And one day I went to my team and I said, I'm doing it. I'm doing my own.
Oh, my God.
It's horrible. They all got scared. They got worried. But you don't understand it. I know I don't understand it, but I still have to get out there and have a go. I've got to embrace this, but you're too far behind the curve. And all these things came at me, and I managed to get involved, and I got it. I did it. And it's like trying to ride a bike, and your stabilizers just won't come off. And when you take them off, you fall over, and there's another pitfall. I don't get it. Why do we have to show someone what we've just bought from Sainsbury's? That's what
it's the law now.
Yeah. If you didn't put it on Instagram, you didn't really do it. That's basically the rule. Yeah, that's unfortunately the rule. But I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because I'm a bit with you. And in fact, we talked about this recently, whereby specifically with Instagram, I really feel like I've lost my way a bit. Like, I just feel, and It's about second guessing. The second you got, you start thinking, is this interesting? Is this boring?
Don't say that. I'm just about getting into it. No, you're now getting out of it.
No. I'm pushing through. But I would say something like Instagram actually for food. Going back to what we talked about earlier with, you know, how visual, how I love a picture and a recipe. You know, Instagram, I guess, for your industry has
works.
Really. Has it really changed the way in which you work and change the way in which you create like recipes and do books? I mean,
do you know what it has done? It's the Instagram social media is stopping a generation of young people learning how to embrace their own personality, their own passion, and get their ideas from within. They're looking at everything on their phone. So they're inspired by what they see, but real talent comes from within. Real passion is about yourself and finding yourself. You will not find yourself on social media. You'll see some funny pictures of yourself, but you will not find yourself. And I worry for the future generations in many different walks of different industries.
That's what concerns me. I think particularly with Twitter, what I've noticed is the self-censoring I do, that it can be so toxic and so angry that it stopped me doing anything, I think, saying anything meaningful on Twitter,
absolutely.
Because I'd rather just, like, you know,
fly under the radar.
I've got a tweet going mad this morning because people are very sort of like mock distressed that I love honey on crumpets, and that's become a big debate, and that's about as controversial and a statement-y as I'm prepared to be on Twitter.
And what are they saying? It's all kinds of wrong to have a sweet crumpet.
A lot
crumpet.
Of people just think it's super weird.
Oh,
I was about 25 before I realised anyone put anything besides honey on crumpets.
Does that make me... I like a sweet or a savoury crumpet.
This is the thing. This is the debate that's engaging the nation.
But wait, hang on. We've got an expert here. Yeah. Marcus, what's the definitive line on this?
I like a bit of both. I go sweet and savoury. I can smother it in butter and just absolutely feel it's unhealthy. But great. Yeah. Or loads of jam, and honey's a great one.
Yeah. Marmite. Yeah. Sorry, Marmite and a crumpet.
I can't get on board with that one as much.
So you don't, you're only sweet.
But it's just, that's what I mean. It's like,
I got a bit sidetracked.
An occasion, I had a woman on Instagram get in touch with me a little while ago and say, you talk about nothing, you don't say anything of any importance. And it's like, damn right I don't.
I'm proud of it.
It's just too scary and too much stress in my day now.
And did you then say, meanwhile, have you heard my podcast?
Yeah, exactly. You think that's bad.
Exactly.
Love. Yeah.
No, I do agree with you. Because at the same time, that's why I really do admire people who are now putting themselves
putting their head above the parapet
because and people like Jamila's doing it, and celebrities doing it especially. I really do, because I just think I'm not near a celebrity, and I'm too scared to do anything. I barely have any followers, but I'm too scared to do it because there will always be somebody out there in the current way social media now works just to be outraged for the sake of being outraged. So even if you say something relatively innocuous, I can't imagine if you actually said something really political or really controversial.
Yeah. The good side of it can be great. Yeah. The bad side of it can be really unbearable at times.
Yeah.
Where are you still then in the infancy of your social media?
I've been doing it for four, five, 6 years now, right. I think, on my own.
And so,
As a mature adult.
At Marcus Waring, if people want to find you.
Something like that, yeah.
There'll be an avalanche of new followers.
Do you enjoy it more now you're sort of driving the bus yourself?
I am enjoying it. But when I sort of conquer a certain part of it, someone invents another aspect to it that just completely throws another pile of problems in front of me that I've got to deal with, you know, at this stage of my life, which I'm really struggling with. And you know, wonder there's problems out there. I mean,
who do you like on? Is there somebody you like on social media that makes you laugh, or somebody you think has a really good account? Or
no,
that?
No,
just
no.
You.
I just follow me.
Typical chef.
Sorry,
typical chef.
No, there isn't. I. That's a good. No. I'm not that into it.
Right.
So I love the people that follow me. I love doing a little bit of interaction. I'm still learning about it. You know, one thing I do find quite hard is holding my phone up and talking to it and giving someone a message and then posting it. You know, I can go on television and do no matter how many hours of MasterChef and do all of that filming and do radio, but I find it quite hard to hold my phone up and give someone a 20, 30, 40 second message about something I'm doing today.
It's scary.
Really weird.
I can't do that.
It's
tough.
If you think of it, you effectively got a TV studio on your phone now, haven't you?
You have.
It's scary. But some people own it, and it's a great thing.
And it's self-promoting.
Yeah.
You know, self-promoter. I'm a big boxing fan. And over the years, boxing promoters used to just look after boxers. And that's how they got their fights. Boxers are now creating their own fights on social media. So the promoters are actually, their lives have been made easy. But these fighters say, I want to fight you. And I antagonize you over social media. They create their own following. And if you can fill out a stadium, that fight gets put on and, you know, you're away. So there is a good
Maybe
side to it.
I might try that. Picking fights with people. I want to fight you.
People in the office. Yes. Someone out there in the office.
Who could I beat up?
Yeah. You don't want a Twitter fight. You want an actual full in-person physical scrap.
That could be my magazine editor USP.
Ultimate fighting editor Joe Elvin.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, you see, heard it here it's first. Never too late to have a goal, is it? No. You've inspired me, Marcus.
Just to go out there and upset someone.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right, well, this won't surprise anybody that I raised this topic. Marcus Waring, James Williams. Is it just me who has been known to mourn for items of clothing? Am I just the shallowest person you know by any chance?
No, I am. Because it might shock you. I'm going to get somber now. I recently had to part with an item of clothing.
And what was this item?
Well, it's not very sexy. It was a really good pair of chinos. Now, for a man, Marcus, I would say when you find a good fit of chinos, and I had them for years, they lasted a long, long time.
My husband would be feeling you on this. Yeah. I mean, I've seen him sort of like with pairs of chinos that he thinks no one can notice the little tiny hole in it somewhere because he just can't bear.
Well, this is what happened to me.
To give in.
So I was cycling back from an appointment on my bike and I suddenly thought, oh, it's a bit cold. And as I got off my bike, I literally looked behind and realised these chinos literally were, it looked like I'd gone like 10 bells with Freddy Krueger. It was literally slashed at the bum. It was literally like underwear hanging out. I was like, and that's what it took for me to say goodbye to these chinos. I was so attached to them.
I had a bathrobe like that I had no idea until one day my husband said to me, might be time to get a new bathrobe. And my mother-in-law was staying and she said, I've got one like that I just can't bear to part with. And I realised I'd been walking around with my backside hanging out of this bathrobe completely unbeknown. My poor mother-in-law must have thought, this is a liberal house.
Yeah.
Glad that Jo's comfortable with her body. But no idea.
But it is incredible. But I think that's the thing. Do you have any idea what we're going on about, Marcus?
I do. I just thought those jeans with your arse hanging out, is that not fashion?
Well, in some parts of the fashion world, I'm sure it is.
Very cool.
Yeah. We've all seen
chino chaps. They were like chaps by the end.
We've all seen
chaps.
Those guys who walk around with them, like the trousers have fallen below their underpants they're quite happy to walk around like that.
I struggle sometimes with, I do struggle with giving, you know, putting things away. But I've got sons now who see my old stuff from 20, 30 years ago as retro. So my other son, Jake, he'll actually go and sell it and make a bit of cash. He's brutal. Kath, can I go in your wardrobe?
And off
he goes.
Are you just coming home to an empty closet?
It can happen at times. It's like things will go missing.
I'd be furious.
And I've kept them because I've never got rid of them. There's no need to. It's like socks. Until all five toes are poking out, you don't throw them away.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, they are usable. Yeah. And what I don't like is, you know, as a sort of a late middle-aged guy, is when you've got a little bit of a rip in your jeans in sort of around the sort of the knee area. And then one day you put them on and you forget there's a little rip in and your big toe gets caught
that's
in.
That's so annoying.
And it rips a massive rip in them. And you're thinking, this hole's getting bigger and bigger and I'm not getting any younger and it's looking too cool for me. What do? You cut them off of the knees and they become summer shorts. I'm not giving them away.
So thrifty. You're that dad, aren't you? Yeah, but you, like, I bet everyone's like, you know, scared to put the heating on and stuff like that.
But you know, that, you know, in knee-high sort of knee-length short sort of denim jeans on a nearly 50-year-old guy, then very cool. But I just know it upsets my kids, so that's why I wear them.
You do it.
Out of principle.
Yeah. I like twerking. That upsets my child. Okay. Really. If I need to get her out of a room and to stop talking to me about Snapchat or friends,
you go in.
I just twerk. And then that's it's very effective.
You're too embarrassing.
Yeah.
Pure, totally. Poor embarrassment. Yeah.
Are you like this about all clothes, Marcus, or is it particular things? Are you a bit of a hoarder when it comes to your clothing?
I am. And so I will look at my wardrobe. Your birthday or Christmas will come up. My wife, Jane, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for people? Well, I always say what my father used to say. I don't need out. What do I need? How many pairs of underpants can I wear? How many pairs of jeans do I need? How many this? How many that? And it's sort of, that's still ingrained in me. She's also, don't be so miserable. Don't be this. Don't be that. So I'll get these presents for Christmas and birthday and I'll put them in my cupboard. And there are times where I've not worn them for about 6 months because I don't feel that I'm ready for this new change when I've got so many lovely old clothes that don't seem to go out of fashion, apparently. That's my thought process anyway. So my wardrobe is getting bigger until my eldest son robs it off me.
Well, see, because my thing is I'm quite good at editing. So if it's the sort of cheaper end of things, like I'm quite good actually. Cause, and also the second it's an odd sock, it's gone. Like I don't understand people that can't, because odd socks just wind me up or they somehow just remind me of that weird vortex that exists
but
somewhere in the world.
Go?
Exactly.
Where do they go?
I can't think about it too much, Mark, because it upsets me. So that sock goes. So I'm quite good. And I have to say, I'm also quite good at, you know, like you're saying about underwear. Yeah. Like, you know, the second you can feel it getting a bit thin, you just need to be a hole in it. You throw it out, right?
Right. Well,
See, my thing with underwear is is there a point at which it's unhygienic? Do you know what I mean? Like, how clean can they get really if they're 10 years old and you're washing and washing and washing them?
I don't know.
I really, that disturbs me.
It's when the elastic band comes out of them that concerns me. Can I still wear them? Will they fall down?
From a man's perspective, I think the second that waistband's gone very baggy, it's just not a good look on anyone.
Right. There are points where I think they get taken out of the equation by family members through just pure embarrassment.
I remember once my grandmother getting a big pack of those big knickers for unwrapping at someone. She needed some new underpants, so she got them. And my father went, oh, look, Mum, polishing cloths. So that's where hers ended up.
Well, that's a very good way to recycle them.
Yeah, apparently. But she was an avid recycler.
But yeah, so I'm quite good at that. So, you know, things like T-shirts and underwear and socks, I'm quite ruthless about.
Yeah.
I guess for me, it's things like the hard things to find. It's that elusive great pair of jeans or a chino. Or, you know, sometimes if you've bought a great... I mean, God forbid you should lose something or somebody nicks it. I mean, the feeling of that, I mean, I can't imagine.
Well, I had a pair of my favourite Gucci shoes, which obviously were not cheap, were basically stolen en route to Sydney.
From what? Your luggage?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's the only explanation. I got there and thought, oh, that's weird. I thought I'd packed those. And then 3 weeks went by. And by the time I got back to London, like nearly a month later, suddenly thought, oh, they're not here either.
I think things go through different life cycles. So I think you take T-shirts, they become your, you know, we all love a good new T-shirt. Yeah. They're pretty relatively, you know, not very expensive. You wear them, you wash them, the name comes off or the logo comes off. Then they become a nightshirt and you wear them for a couple of years as a nightshirt and then they end up as part of your gym kit.
Yep.
Oh.
Then they get holes and start to smell. At that point, they become gardening gear.
Yep.
And then eventually they will hit the bin somewhere down the line.
See, my
sound
secret,
familiar?
My secret to this is also have a small wardrobe, as in a physical wardrobe, because if you have to edit because you can't fit anymore in, it forces you to be more ruthless.
I like the way you talk about your wardrobe, as I've got to edit it.
You need to edit it.
That's
Marcus.
A good one.
Curate.
Yeah.
Curate.
Yeah. Store it.
I also think like you shouldn't basically have, like, I mean, with the exception of a couple of things, you shouldn't really have multiples of anything, really, should you? If you think about it, clothing-wise.
I just feel so shamed today between the starter and the fact that if I find a pair of jeans that is just perfect, I will go and buy another pair of it.
No, that's fine. I mean, like, you know, maybe two or three pairs of jeans. But what I'm saying is, you know, if you love, for a white t-shirt, for example, if you've got three white t-shirts and they're looking thread, but you buy four more, chuck out the ones that look terrible.
No, because that keeps them all looking pristine.
They're the ones that you wear when you're sick. If you're not, they're comfort.
You don't want to overwash a white t-shirt, James.
Oh, but Jo's a very good launderer, by the way. She's very good at making things keep their sort of, you know, sort of shop new look.
Why is it when we open our wardrobes that we always have this ability to say, I've got nothing to wear? When it's full. My wife says that to me. I've got nothing to wear. I mean, we've got four bedrooms full of clothes.
But do you know what happens, Marcus? I think this is why editing is good. People don't buy outfits, they buy items. Mm. And I think the second you start thinking about buying an outfit, and even when you're buying one item, you're thinking, right, how is that going to work as an outfit?
Yeah.
And then you would.
You're going too far now. You're losing me.
Sorry.
Now. You're losing me.
Even I don't understand.
You know, don't you?
No.
Don't you ever do that thing where you buy an item of clothing, and then I go home and I immediately have a fashion show for one at home where I try that item on with about five different things, and I literally work it into like five outfits. So then I know, that's how I'm going to wear that item. With the right.
No, you're on your own on this one.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's not the first time, sadly, Mark, as that's been said.
I don't sort of like plan that when I get home. I just think, I like that. And then I surprise myself over and over again. Oh, it goes with that as well. Yeah, I do that.
You have to delay. See, I like to get in there to figure out exactly what's going to happen. And also then, again, because I think I hate that feeling of, what the hell am I going to wear today? Yeah. So I like
so
to
you
be...
know, and you're like, oh, I'm going to so have a starter in that outfit. It's going to be great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a starter in every outfit.
And I look great on social media.
Yeah.
You've covered all three there.
Yeah. And what a beautiful way to sum up everything.
What a joy it's been to have really you in the room today.
Thanks so much for joining us, Marcus.
Great fun. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Again, Marcus, every day it's out on Halloween. So go and literally enjoy it.
Make the cauliflower smoked cheese gratin like I'm going to do.
That's what you're going to do this weekend.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Marcus. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you again next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.